As I prepared for this message, I was reminded, Archie, when did your grandmother pass? About 98, 97 when your grandmother passed away, is that right? About 97, 98 when Miss Coble passed away. And preparing for her funeral and talking to the family, came across a list of things. In our conversation, we discovered there was a list of things of kind of her sayings that she would... I don't want to play that. That she would say all the time. And it's just always kind of stuck in my mind. I've brought this list up on several occasions. And there were four things, and I used them as part of her funeral that day, and then later brought them up at William's funeral. But she had four sayings. One of them, and it's kind of an interesting list. I don't know that there's really a common theme, but one of them was pray every day. The other one was I don't want for anything except for everybody to be happy, be smart, and come when you can. I thought that was a pretty cool list. Archie got three out of four. He's slipping on that be smart thing. But other than that, he's not doing too bad. But those were her four. I don't know if she had more. Those were the four that came out in our conversation. Pray every day. I don't want for anything except for everybody to be happy. Be smart and come when you can. As I looked at this passage, that those things came back in my mind. Because what we have here is kind of Paul's list. I originally, when I started preparing this message, my intention was to preach, my text was going to be verse 18. Great Thanksgiving passage where Paul says, in all things, give thanks. Great, great Thanksgiving passage. But one of the things that I typically do, and I know some of you may not like modern translations, and I don't like all of them, but one of the things that I do like about most modern translations is that ordinarily they will, where the King James Version is grouped one verse at a time, ordinarily most of the modern translations will group a passage by paragraph. And I don't know how much of you remember about your English class, but you know, generally a paragraph is kind of one thought. And so I always try to go back and look in one of the modern translations and just see where the paragraph is, where the beginning and where the end is. And I really like that because I don't want to preach on the last verse of one paragraph and the first verse of the next paragraph. If I did, I got two thoughts crossed up. And so I like to try to stay inside of a paragraph. And as I looked at this passage, I discovered that this verse 18, which I kind of already knew it was part of a larger paragraph, I just didn't know what the paragraph was. And it's actually verses 12 through 18 that are this common thought. And as I looked back over it and thought about it, it caused me a little bit of confusion for a while because much like Ms. Coble's four thoughts, pray every day, be smart, come when you can. There's not really a common denominator between those four sayings. When you look at this list in 1 Thessalonians, there's really not a common thought. Again, it's kind of like, Paul just kind of has some random closing thoughts here in his letter to the Thessalonians. And if you look... It's really kind of again an interesting list. You can see it begins in verse 13. It says, "We beseech you to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." And so this paragraph starts by saying, "Know those who work for you and those who work with you. You know, be good to them, encourage them." You know, encourage those that in the workplace, and he goes on and says, esteem them very highly in love. Be at peace among yourself. You know, that's again an unusual fault in context of where he is. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none give evil for evil. And then he comes finally to something that almost sounds like Thanksgiving when he says, rejoice evermore. Follows that by saying, pray without ceasing. And then we come to verse 18 where he says, in all things give thanks. And so as I looked at that, I thought that's kind of an unusual list. It kind of looks like Paul might have threw some faults in a hat and pulled one out and wrote it down, and pulled another one out and wrote it down. There just seems to be no real order, no real common bond to what Paul was saying. And as I looked at it again, because remember, my original purpose was to talk about, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus for you. And so that was my original thought. But as I went back and realized, it's part of a bigger paragraph. Paul has a bigger picture in mind. Paul has a bigger idea in point here. God ultimately inspiring Paul to write these words is saying something even bigger than just rejoice in all things, give thanks in all things. And as I looked at it, and I came to the conclusion, and you can check with Paul one day yourself. I didn't actually get his approval, but this was my thought as I looked at this. Paul is giving us a larger picture here. Paul is giving us a design as he begins to give us this list of things and say, you know, be good to those you work with. Don't give evil for evil. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Kind of a mixed up bag there, and then says, in all things give thanks. And as I thought about that, I began to say, I believe there is a bigger design in Paul's words. I believe there is a bigger plan than that. Paul certainly could have said, in all things give thanks. And to be quite honest with you, most of us would have never got that done. Most of us would have never got that accomplished. We sang a few moments ago, count your many blessings. I don't know about you. I started counting. I ran out of fingers and toes and borrowed Tommy's, and he ran out. I mean, when we begin to do that, rejoice in all things, honestly, would have been more than most of us would have ever got done. But in that same thought, Paul says, be good at work. In that same thought, Paul says, don't give evil for evil. In that same thought, Paul says, encourage one another. And I just kept pondering on that and thought, what is that? Those just don't seem to go together. And this was the conclusion as I studied this and thought this through. I believe what Paul is addressing here is a common, I believe, problem among Americans. We're going to come up this week and we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're going to set aside a day and we're going to call it Thanksgiving. And we're going to gather and we're going to eat till we're stuffed. And, you know, we're going to go out in the yard and throw the football around. We're going to watch a football game. We might even pause for a moment and talk about the things we're thankful for. And then we're going to go take a nap because we got to run out for Black Friday sales. You know, we've got to take off and go do those kinds of things. And as I thought about it, something popped into my mind that I see every year, and every year it kind of disturbs me a little bit. And I hope this doesn't sound too judgmental, but it's judgmental. But every year on Thanksgiving, it never fails that all day long, during the parades, during the ball games, they will show small little segments all day long of celebrities and athletes who they will have recorded, and they will show them talking about the things they're thankful for. And it's always, you know, it's always the athletes, it's always celebrities, and they're always talking about, well, I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for this. And I've already told you, I know this sounds judgmental, but here we go. I watch those things, and I would dare say, if I'm judgmental, most of you are too, because you've probably thought the very same thing. So before you label me, you remember when you point one finger, there's quite a few pointing back at you. Okay? Every year when I see that, I'm thinking to myself, what about the other 364 days a year? We have athletes and celebrities who a few days ago were on the news for doing who knows what, who were putting out all kinds of garbage and trash, and their songs are just pure smut, unfit to play in the toilet, and putting out movies that are, you know, that aren't fit for man or beast. Athletes who you know, they're on TV this week being thankful to God for this, and last week that they couldn't play because they'd been suspended for some kind of violation or whatever, some drug violation or something. And as I thought about that, and I thought, you know, and I don't know about you. Again, if that's judgmental, most of you are judgmental with me. I'm just telling you, it bothers me to see. I hear a lot of them come on who I've heard the things they said all year, you know, and how they've been anti-God all year long. And they get on TV and say, well, I'm thankful. And I'm thinking, who are you thankful to? You know, last week you didn't believe in God. This week you're thankful. What are you talking about? And as I thought about it, I said, you know, I believe that's what Paul is talking about right here. Paul is saying the same thing to us. That any idiot can gather Thursday, cook a turkey or a pot of dumplings or bake a ham. Anybody can gather together and call it Thanksgiving. But not just everybody can live it all year long. Yeah, and so what I believe Paul is saying to us, and I, if you notice this, it's way down near the end of his list when he says rejoice in all things. In all things give thanks. Paul has already told us such things as up here. When he says to know those that work among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you. Paul has already said when you're at work, live like a believer. Paul has already said when you're at work, love one another. You know, Paul is saying to those who are in management positions. Paul is saying you can't live like a dog 364 days a year. You can't treat your employees like trash 364 days a year. Come up on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, hand them a turkey and say, God bless you, and think that it means beans. Paul is saying you can't work for somebody 364 days a year and be the sorriest human being ever draw a breath, have to back up to get your paycheck and walk out on Thanksgiving and say, God bless you, hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and think it has any impact at all. Paul is saying to us that as the title of a message I preached several years ago at this time of year, and a lot of people have used this title, it's not new to me, Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. You can't just take one day a year and call it Thanksgiving and act thankful. He says you've got to be good to those that work with you and around you. Be at peace among yourself. You can't fight and squabble and argue and not speak all year long and gather around the Thanksgiving table this week and talk about, oh, how I love you. Paul is saying that as believers, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, it's not just enough to pop up one day and be thankful. Paul, that's why he says, in all things give thanks. You see what he's saying? He's not saying that setting aside a Thursday once a year makes up for 364 and a fourth days, 365 and in leap year. It doesn't make up for it. He says, be at peace. Be at peace. I love the word the Bible uses in places. Peacemakers. Be a peacemaker. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Peace generally has to be made. Fighting will take care of itself. You ever notice that? Peace has to be made. Fighting will handle itself. You know, it's kind of like weeds. I think about my yard. There's a place in our driveway, a little turnaround. And my objective originally was there wasn't going to be any grass there. I don't even know. I would say there are no less than 10 layers of that cloth stuff that's supposed to keep grass from growing. There is enough mulch to fill up this church. I don't know where it all goes, to be honest with you. It just keeps, you know. There is, if I'm not mistaken, when we got it and when we shoveled it out, I believe there are 6 tons of those busted up brick chips, you know what I'm talking about, you see, for decorating. There is enough Roundup and other chemicals, legal and illegal, poured on that section to make that spot permanently uninhabitable. If the EPA would come out there, they would condemn the whole neighborhood. And yet, that particular place is the greenest of them all. My nice concrete driveway. I don't know how many of y'all have this problem. I grow some of the finest stands of grass in the middle of concrete you've ever seen. Nice brown dead patches out in the yard. Beautiful stands of grass. Anybody else have to run their lawnmower across the driveway? It just seems to happen. Fighting and wars just seem to happen. You know as well as I do, there will be Thanksgiving gatherings this week where people choose their seat to stay far from so-and-so because they don't want to have to deal with them. There will be Thanksgiving gatherings people do not attend because they're not speaking to part of their family. And yet, Christ says here, the Holy Spirit says to us through Paul, be at peace. Paul is saying, it's completely hypocritical to talk about, oh, how thankful I am, and not be at peace with each other. He says, don't render evil for evil. Again, something that's real easy to do. You hurt me, I hurt you. You hurt me, I hurt you twice. That way I'm ahead. That's the way most of us work. He tells us to be patient with all men. I love how he adds that. He doesn't just say, be patient. He says, be patient with all men. Y'all know I've been stuck on that MASH saying lately. It's nice to be nice to the nice. Well, it's easy to be patient with some people. Yeah, it's easy to be patient with some people. It's easy to be patient with the person who signs your paycheck. Now, if it was the other way around and you signed theirs, you might fire them. You might tell them off. But since they signed the paycheck, you smile and say, it's a nice day. It's easy to be patient with some people. It's not what Paul says. Paul says, we're patient with all men. Can I tell you this morning, there will be, and I think we will never know on this side of eternity, how much harm, how much damage has been done to the name of Christ because of the church in America, because of the way many people act under the name of Christianity, how many people act out in public Thanksgiving week and Christmas week. Anyone who has ever worked in the public knows and ought to be screaming and shouting amen and jumping a pew or two. Listen, I've worked in the jewelry business at Christmas. I've been the one sliding the doors shut at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve and been cussed for closing the doors because they didn't know Christmas was on the 25th of December this year. Last year it was on the 26th. They thought they had one more day to shop because they had an item in layaway. And they didn't come in time to pick it up. And what am I going to do for Christmas? I don't know. But as Ricky would say to Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Because my calendar says Christmas falls on December the 25th. I've been in the bread business when the only grocery store in town that was open was the Bilo that used to be right up here on top of the hill. It was the only one that was open on Thanksgiving. They stayed open till 2 o'clock. I can tell you that they have been yelled at and cussed at for closing the door at 2 o'clock. Because once again, Thanksgiving fell on the fourth Thursday of November this year, where last year it was on the fifth. What do you mean you're out of turkey? What do you mean you're out of brown and serve rolls? Well, everybody else got the memo that Thanksgiving was coming, and they went ahead and bought theirs early. Maybe you ought to get on the mailing list. Those young folks running the cash register and bagging your groceries didn't make the schedule or order the groceries. And they certainly didn't cause you to forget that it was Christmas or Thanksgiving. And when you go in and show yourself, you've just embarrassed yourself in the kingdom of God. Don't walk out and say Happy Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, if you're going to act like that, would you please turn in your We Attend Poplar Grove Baptist Church license tag? Or at least drape something over it till after the new year. Go out there and put, "We attend Eva Drive." Do something. Before you go out and act like that. That's why I believe Paul gives us this list of things. Be patient with all men. Don't give evil for evil. Before he even bothers telling us to in all things give thanks. Because listen, if you're not patient with all men, if you're not acting right at work, you know what? You're probably not going to be giving thanks in all things. And so Paul gives us a design. He's saying to us, listen, it's a lifestyle of living like God calls us to. It's a lifestyle of living like God wants us to. I shared something on Facebook this week that I think is probably one of the greatest words I've ever seen. There's a lot of garbage goes around here. But this one, and I may not word it exactly the way it is, but it says something to this effect. It says, it doesn't matter if you memorize the entire Bible, if you live like you've never opened it. That's what Paul's talking about. There's no use in me standing up here and spending any time at all preaching about in all things give thanks if you're going to go out to the restaurant after church today and bite the head off of the young lady that's waiting on your table because the clown in the kitchen messed up your food. She didn't do it. And I'll almost bet you he didn't do it on purpose. There's probably a better than average chance he's never been trained. Several weeks ago, matter of fact, I guess it would have been a month ago because it was the last time that Rhonda had to stay with her mother. Caleb and myself, and I guess Tenzie, that's who it was. We went right up here after church. We were going up the road. What do you want for lunch? What do you want for lunch? Somebody said Taco Bell. It was real complicated. We pulled into Taco Bell. We got up there, and the young lady that was running the register, we're ordering, and she's... And I said something to her about having a rough day. She said, "Yeah, this is my first day." She's up there, not a manager in sight, no one training her, nobody around her, and that poor young lady's trying her best with a smile on her face to find my food and to get it rung up. Listen, Paul says, be patient. Don't give evil for evil. You know what Paul says? When he says, "Don't," you know what? Even if that young lady, when she saw you coming in, said, "I don't like the way Kevin looks, and I'm going to make him wait in line a few minutes." You know what the Bible says? What Paul says? Paul says, don't give evil for evil. Smile at her and say, "Thank you, dear." Or just don't go in. Turn around, whatever. But don't give evil for evil. Before you talk about rejoicing and giving thanks in all things, Paul says there's a 364-day life that leads up to that day of thanksgiving. There's a design here. There's a design. Undermines all of our praise, undermines all of our thanksgiving to walk around and to live contrary to the Word of God the rest of the time and then stand up on Sunday morning or stand up whenever and say, I just want to thank God for all He's done for me. And when everybody knows all week long, all you've done is gripe and complain, moan and mumble. It's a design, Paul says. You've lived like a dog all week long and come in and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Paul says it undermines every bit of it. There's a design. Now, there is a desire here. There's a demand. Notice what he says in that verse that I started with. In all things, give thanks. Not in some things, most things. Not when you feel like it. That's about as dogmatic a statement as there is in the Bible. That's just as dogmatic and clear-cut as "thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill." In all things, give thanks. If this was the 11th commandment, you know what it would say? It would be worded that way. It would say, "Thou shalt give thanks." There's no debating it. And I love something else about this statement. Notice in that statement that at the end of it, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Did you notice that "for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you" does not follow "pray without ceasing"? Prayer is pretty important, wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? But it doesn't follow pray without ceasing. Doesn't follow it. Doesn't follow to be patient towards all men. Doesn't follow be at peace among yourself. Doesn't follow encouraging those that you work with and work for. But after he says, in all things give thanks, he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know, that sounds like it may just be important to God. It's kind of a shame, to be quite honest with you, and I've said this before, that we actually have to put a day on the calendar to be thankful. Now, I know many of you, you're grateful and you're thankful and you praise God all year long. I understand that. But for many people, it'll be the first and only time they think about being thankful and think about God till next November. But I want to point out to you something. Paul says, in all things, in everything, give thanks. What is he talking about? Does he really mean all? I believe he does. I'm just dumb enough to believe that's what he meant. That's what he said. In everything, give thanks. What's everything? I think he can break it into two categories. I think he talks about, he's saying that in everything, obviously in the blessings of life. In everything. In the blessings and the benefits of life. You know, as Pansy said a while ago, we were reminded right here this morning of the importance of the blessing of electricity and heat. And lights. I could hear them snoring at 8:30. They were cool and the lights were out. Listen, we have. Do you understand that if you're sitting here today, you automatically qualify as one of the most blessed people on earth. Average yearly salary in China is somewhere around $1,500 a year. Philippines, about $1,700 a year. You know as well as I do that in most American homes this Thursday, we will throw away more food than many people will have to eat all year long. We will throw away. You just pay attention. I tell you what, those of you who have children or grandchildren in school, go eat lunch with them and look in the trash can. Now, granted, that's where a lot of it belongs. But, you know, especially since they've changed all the school food, that's where a lot of it belongs. But you know what? There are people who would love to have what's going in those trash cans. I couldn't help but laugh this morning. I stood here at the early service, no lights and no heat, and there was one person sitting here fanning. You know, I think the thermostat said it was 61 in here, and we had somebody fanning. Yeah. We're sitting here this morning with a roof over our head. There are people who don't have a place to meet. There are people who will be meeting out in the yards. There will be people who can't meet because of the laws of the land. Some of you are sitting here and your stomach's already rumbling. And you're already thinking about where you're going to eat or what's in the crock pot at the house. There's a lot of people who face that every day and hadn't had anything to eat in a few days. You know, if you live in America and you're at the bottom of the totem pole in America, you are ahead of two-thirds of the world. Amen. You're in the top 25% if you live in America. I don't care where you are. I don't care what your bank account looks like. Listen, I'll be perfectly honest with you, and I'm not volunteering, but if you're living under the bridge in America, you're better off than if you're living in the high-rise in China or Russia or one of those other countries. We've been blessed. In everything, give thanks. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Most of us go to the closet and we have to decide which pair of shoes we're going to wear. We live in a country where the doctors actually say that you shouldn't wear the same pair of shoes 2 days in a row. There are some people who never had a pair of shoes, let alone had the option of wearing them 2 days in a row. Many of you who have children, you know what it's like. They come in from school, pull off what they wore to school, put on something else. By supper time, they've got on something else. And before bedtime, they've got on something else. And all of it goes into dirty clothes because they've wore it for an hour. And you carry it in your laundry room in your nice electric washing machine and wash it instead of, like some of you have done, and many around the world are still doing, loading it up and carrying it down to the creek and beating it with a rock. Think about the thing. You want to know how comfortable we are, how blessed we are? Think about the things we complain about. Ooh, the heat's on 72. It's on. Who turned the air conditioner all the way up to 73? I don't want this to eat. I want something else. Think about the things we complain about if you want to know how blessed we are. We'll stand in our closet, packed literally from end to end, and complain that we have nothing to wear. In everything, give thanks. Our blessings, even our burdens, even the things that go wrong. Paul says, give thanks. Did he mean it? I think so. If you read what Paul wrote, if you look in other places in Paul's writings, Paul made statements like this in Romans. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. He wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what Paul's message was? Paul was saying, much more eloquently than I ever could, Paul was saying, anybody can brag when things are going good. Paul says that we have the opportunity, even when things are going bad, to brag on our Jesus. See, I didn't know what Martin was going to say a while ago. One thing, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of oomph to stand up and brag when you get that kind of doctor's report. But I want to tell you something. I've listened to him for the last 6 months, and I've heard him with the same kind of faith and trust in God even when the doctor's reports weren't as good. Desperate. I've listened to Pansy in the last few months. On days, I've been watching her. I keep looking for her to chase a man down Poplar Tent Road. Man, she's moving. Last week when I called her name, I wasn't going to make her stand up out in that pew. I think she was standing up. I wasn't sure. She's hard to tell sometimes whether the panties up or not. See? But I've listened to her in the last year, I guess, maybe more, when in agony, you could see it. Pansy can't play poker. Her face would give her away. But she never stopped bragging on her Jesus. And anybody that saw that had to be moved by somebody with that kind of faith and that kind of confidence in God. When Paul says, in everything give thanks, he means it. He means it. He gives us a design. He gives us a demand. He gives us a decision. Because right after that he says, in all things give thanks, he says, quench not the Spirit. Life is full of forks in the road. We can either work with, be godlike to those we work with and work for. We can either be peacemakers. We can either be patient with all people. We can either rejoice in all things. We can either pray without ceasing. We can either give thanks in everything, or we can quench the Spirit. Every day in our life, numerous times in our life, numerous times in a day, we're going down the road of life and we come to a point. And we come to a fork in the road. And we can decide to be patient with all people, or we can decide not to. We can decide to pray, or we can decide not to. We can decide to show God to those we work with, or we can choose not to. Every day, all day long. Again, some of you, unfortunately, you're probably going to have this experience. You're going to leave here, and some of you are going to go out to eat, and you're going to go out, and you're going to run into a cashier, you're going to run into a waitress, you're going to run into somebody who tries their best to mess up your day and test your faith. And you're going to stand there at the fork in the road, and you can return evil for evil. You can be patient. You can praise God. Or you can take the low road. Thursday, when you're gathered with your family, I don't know about yours, but I about bet you somebody in my family going to work my good nerve. And that's saying something because I don't got that much family. But somebody going to work my good nerve. They're going to get it out, and they're going to lay it on the table, and they're going to carve it like turkey. We can return evil for evil. We can be patient with all men. We can rejoice evermore. In all things give thanks. You can stand here and say, thank God it's 365 days till Thanksgiving. I make it through today, I won't have to kill nobody. And then I won't, you know, they'll go home, I'll go home. You know. And you know, if you're wise, you don't let them come to your house. That way you can always get in your car and leave. You don't have to return evil for evil. But here's the trick. Paul says, if we're not being patient, if we're not being peaceful all year long, what we do Thursday is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I want to share with you one last thing that I found. It says, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me at work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need emptying because it means I have a home. The spot at the far end of the parking lot because it means I have a car. The huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. All the complaint, this may be the most accurate of all the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means that I can hear. Nobody look around and point. The piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I'm alive. And the weariness and the aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I've been productive. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. But that's not an excuse to not live for God the other 364 days. As our musicians come this morning, I want to ask you to bow your heads. You know, the real question of this passage this morning is this. It's not, am I thankful? It's not, am I giving thanks? It's what am I doing with the rest of my days? See, come Thursday, they'll put athletes and celebrities on television who all day long will talk about how thankful they are, how grateful they are. Anybody can say it. Paul says, does our life back it up? How can we say I'm thankful for food and not be thankful for the bread of life? How can we experience the patience of God and not show patience to others? A decision. Not just am I grateful, am I thankful, but the other 364 days back that up. I want to invite you this morning to come and kneel. We're entering into a time of the year when people are thinking about the church, thinking about God, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's also a hectic and crazy time, and it's easy to not look like Jesus. I want to invite you to come and kneel this morning and just simply say, Lord, help me this Thanksgiving and Christmas season to look like You. To handle my family, my friends, my co-workers, like You would. To bring You honor in a world that doesn't honor You. You're here today and you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about. Can I tell you the greatest thing He's ever did, the thing you had to be the most thankful for? That He's given you another day, another opportunity to be in His house. Another opportunity to hear His Word. Another opportunity to come to know Him as your Savior. You don't know Jesus Christ, you need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Be the greatest Thanksgiving you've ever had. The greatest Christmas you've ever had. Believers, is my life backing up my gratitude as we stand together? Not, Lord, help me to be grateful. Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to not give evil for evil. Help me to not, to bring peace everywhere I go. So that when I am grateful, it's authentic. Help me to be a good co-worker, good employee, so that when I am grateful, people believe it. Maybe you just want to come this morning and kneel and say, Lord, I just want to thank You for all You've done, all Your blessings. I've counted my blessings.